Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time, right?
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. So everybody, it is sell or die. This is Motivation Monday, kind of.
It's
this
Saturday!
It's motivation any day of the damn week. And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Glockow, the founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute.
And it's going to get better, Jenny. That book is going to be coming out January the 1st.
I know.
People are going to be clamoring for it.
I know.
I'm already clamoring for it.
Well, you could have.
Anthony Iannarino is clamoring for it.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. So that is so cool.
I mean, don't you have the sales manifesto coming out too as well, Jeffrey?
We do. I do. But it's time for Jenny. This is going to be Jen week.
Thank you.
It's her birthday month.
Do you know this is my birthday month?
Yeah.
And some guy that was at, not some guy, that sounds rude, but one of our Atlanta attendees.
Yeah, diehard.
He's also a diehard, I think, but he attended the event in Atlanta and he sent you a video message. I don't know if you saw it. And someone copied me on the message, so I watched the video. It was all about the Apple Pan. Yeah, but he starts out the video by saying, this is so funny. I don't know if you've done any research, but I've been researching the web about you guys. And did you know that Jennifer's birthday is on the 13th?
Yep, or do.
In case you forgot.
That guy's pretty cool, by the way. If you've ever eaten diehards at the Apple Pan hamburger joint in Los Angeles on Pico at the corner of Westwood, across from the Westwood Mall, you'll know that you've eaten the best hamburger on the planet. And he was lamenting the fact that he would go there in the afternoon for pie and they'd already sold out. Because the Apple Pan has three bests. Best hamburger in the world. Best apple pie in the world. Best banana cream pie in the world.
I don't know. Growing up, Michelle's Bakery had the best apple pie. Just ask my great-grandpa.
I kind of got to go with Jeffrey. I've been to the Apple Pan before.
Oh,
murder.
Yeah?
Awesome.
It's not murder. As a foodie.
Yeah.
You guys may not know this, but not a is knows a foodie? Food. He knows food.
I can tell by his ass.
Jeffrey!
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
I'll give you that one.
Thank you. So, it's Saturday.
It's Saturday.
We were just in Atlanta, and I understand that we had some diehard questions that were unanswered.
Yes. So, at the public events, we do a live sell or die, and we answer everyone's questions, as many as we can. And this time, there were so many questions that we actually could not answer them all in the time we had allotted.
OMG.
So what we're going to do today is a very special Saturday episode, and we are going to be answering the rest of the Atlantis questions. Now, if you want to get your specific question answered, it's really simple. Just go to the Facebook Sell or Diehard official group, answer the three questions to join. You click join, we'll ask you three quick questions, join it. And you can ask your question, and we'll answer it live on the show.
Two of the questions are simple. Do you have a credit card? And the second question is, can we have it?
What's the limit? No. They're really – we want to know – okay, one of the questions – I'll give you a hint. One of the questions is, what's the biggest sales challenge you're experiencing or something like that? Because we are using that information – to help you. So if you tell us you're struggling with prospecting and you want more information about prospecting and lots of other people tell us the same thing, we're probably going to start talking about prospecting more.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Thank
you. Why didn't I think of that?
I don't know. But if you go to the Seller Diehards official Facebook group, click to join, answer the questions, we will approve you and get you in and we will interact and engage with
you.
And
so what's the first question today, Jen?
I don't know. Nada has the questions. Yes. Let's hear it, Nada.
So the first question we have from Atlanta that you guys didn't get to. How do you sell to baby boomers and older people who are not necessarily online, especially when you're in an industry where people don't trust you because of the reputation of the their industry? And then he puts in a side note, people naturally hate lawyers.
Jeffrey, you're older.
I am?
Than me.
I happen to be on the cusp of the baby boom, born just at the very end of World War II, so I'm not a deep boomer.
But you're close enough, though.
You're like an almost
Oh, yeah,
boomer.
No, I'm in the baby boom. Yeah, I grew up with doo-wop, so I'm there. I'm going to say if your industry isn't trusted, you got a way bigger problem than baby boomers. That's number one. And number two, what can you do as a person to get more trustworthy? What can you post on LinkedIn? What can you mail out to people if you don't think that they're tech savvy, but which is bullshit because they're all tech savvy. They all have grandkids. They're all on Facebook one form or another. And they're all looking to get information because if you're trying to reach baby boomers, they're all scared of dying.
So this is like an interesting question because he hints or she hints at a second question. People naturally hate lawyers.
They're
really?
Correct. Everyone.
I love my lawyers. I mean, I hate when they send a bill, but I love my lawyers. That's because true. I trust them. They're my trusted advisors. I can call them and ask them anything about any of their expertise and know that the information that they're going to give to me is the information I need.
I agree, Jen, but they have a reputation in general that may not be the best.
Okay.
You know, the honest lawyer, it's a very big oxymoron. Trusted lawyer, another oxymoron. There's a classic billboard in New Jersey that probably got painted over since the time I left. But it was a guy who painted a billboard on his property about his definition of a lawyer. Two farmers pulling on the head of a cow and the tail of a cow, fighting over the cow, and the lawyer underneath of it milking it. And that was the definition that I looked at and go, oh, they're right. You don't win in court. You prevail in court. The lawyer
okay,
wins.
Okay, but lawyers can be your trusted advisor.
Oh,
and lawyers can give you amazing information. You just find ones that you trust. Mickey Aberman.
Come on. I'm blessed.
Hold on. Mickey Aberman.
Smartest guy I know. Best lawyer on the planet.
Okay. Would you ever put...
No.
Would you ever put...
No.
Not trusted next to his name?
Never.
Okay, exactly. So he won you over. He won your trust. Yeah. And let's break that down. How did he win your trust?
By talking to me.
Okay.
And proving himself that he was more than competent.
Okay, so if you're a lawyer out there and you're in and or whatever industry.
Yeah, drop your professionalism, start being friendly, talk to people nicely, do something good for them, and you can change the reputation of the whole industry.
Yeah. People aren't working with the industry, they're working with you. That's the key.
Very few people have a surname of ambulance chaser.
Yeah.
That's what they have to get over the hurdle of.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. Okay, so one more thing. This person is saying that, you know,
We've already been on this person too long.
Hold on. I want to add one more thing. This person is saying they don't think their market is online.
What?
Everyone is online now. Yeah. Even my grandma has an iPhone.
Who is a boomer?
More.
Oh,
She's
a buster?
I don't know. Whatever she is.
Don't make me have to edit this part out of Jen's grandma, please.
Oh, yeah. Here's the point. Like, my grandma would never even have a phone. We made her get a phone when phones started to become a thing because we didn't want her driving without one.
Right.
Okay. Now, and she kept it in a plastic bag, you know, the old school way, of course.
You don't want it to catch on fire.
And never opened it up. And now I text her pictures. Like, she's online, okay? Everyone's online. You
now
just have to figure out where they are online. Maybe your market's on Pinterest. Maybe they're on Instagram. I don't know where they are because I don't know you, but they're there somewhere. Just find them.
All right, second question. What social media avenue has given you the most ROI?
You want me to go first? Or
yeah,
you
go first.
All right, I would go with... It's a tie between LinkedIn and Instagram. I'm going to tell you why. LinkedIn has a lot of the people I want to connect with. So I am able to do research. I am able to find out all about them. I am able to connect with them or see who I'm connected with that's connected with them to ask for introductions. So LinkedIn is very valuable for me as a business person. But Instagram makes me real. Instagram, people can follow me and actually understand who I am as a person, what gifts I'm receiving in the mail. If you watch my story today, you'll find out. I got so much stuff while we were away the past few weeks. I'm going to open up all my mail on Instagram. So, like, you – and you can really tell a person by their mail. So, you know, it just makes me real. And I'm all about the DM. I tell people in my stories all the time, DM me. Because I want to hear from you and I will message you back. And so that – for some reason, I think the DM feature on Instagram is more open than the message. I don't even know what LinkedIn calls it. The messaging feature on LinkedIn, because there's so many spammers on LinkedIn. But on Instagram, really, I mean, like 90% of the people that are reaching out to me are people I actually want to have a conversation with.
Mine is LinkedIn for sure, but only because I have so many LinkedIn connections that when I post something, I'll get comments, I'll get feedbacks, I'll get shares. And I've used it the way it's supposed to be used. I gather my connections and I send them something of value regularly. Oh my gosh. You know, regularly is like a New York accent word?
It is. It is.
Like coffee.
You can't say regularly.
Regularly.
You have to say regularly. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. What's next, Nada?
All right. Can you be too responsive and too available? Someone clearly has a problem being too responsive and too available.
I say no. I say the more responsive you are, the more deals you're going to make, the better your reputation is going to be. Maybe it's a pain in the ass at first, but I can promise you, you will regulate your own availability as your earnings increase. But at the moment, you can never be too available. And I will tell you, as a personally, I give my cell phone out to very few people. When they call, I answer. Regardless, I answer.
I called you just a few minutes ago.
I didn't answer. Well, that ought to tell you something, sweetie.
No, I'm just kidding. You did answer. Okay, so the question was, can you be too responsive and too available?
Yes.
Customers, if they're messaging you right now, they don't want an answer in an hour. They want an answer right now. Dude. Like I looked at when I was looking at French classes when I was going to Paris, I messaged, I don't know, maybe 10 different places. Who do you think I went with?
The one that messaged you back.
Right away. It was 10 o'clock their time. I didn't care. It wasn't 10 o'clock my time. It was 4 o'clock here. Okay. And the owner of the school picked up the phone and called me. And she said, hi, I'm actually running an errand right now, but I saw you message, you know, it's 10 o'clock here, and I wanted to get back to you right away. I said, oh, cool, and you speak English. This is going to be great.
Hello.
You know, the other ones were already out because I didn't want to wait. I wanted to do this now. That's how your customers are. So I don't think you can be too responsive.
All right. Next question. How do you remain present while simultaneously always being available?
Wear sunglasses.
The daily struggle.
Yeah. If you have sunglasses on, they can't tell if you're looking at them or not.
You're going to wear sunglasses to dinner?
No. But you know what I'm talking about.
I was about to say, you're going to start wearing sunglasses to public seminars?
I don't wear sunglasses that often, but I was wearing them in Paris walking around, and I go, wow, I can look at people. They don't even know I'm looking at them. Now, keep in mind, I'm 72 and I just figured that out.
Oh, my God. Some of them you can actually see people's size, but the ones you had on, you couldn't.
Yeah. I was.
So.
Yeah.
This is a struggle because I am big on being present.
Yep.
I am big on if you're in a meeting or you're in a room, or you're in a lunch or dinner
or
whatever.
Look at your phone, you dick.
Yeah. Like, put your phone away and look at the people that you're meeting with. Like, I used to have lunch with a friend, and every time we would go to lunch, and he was the most responsive person I knew. Okay. And it was great because we did some business together, and anytime I needed something, I knew he would he could be like on the treadmill at the gym responding to me. He could be like at an important banquet responding to me. And as a customer, it was amazing. But we were also friends. So we would go to lunch and he'd be like, hold on. That's me typing. And he'd be responding. And then I try to get my next point out or ask him a question about the next thing. And one second. And I'm like, this is so, should I just go somewhere else and we can text?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, some of this sounds recording sessions that that go on around here, but still.
You should have said, can you just give me your money and I'll go buy lunch someplace else?
No, so like the person you're having a meal with wants to connect with you.
Yeah.
Like, so just, you know, you can be always available, but if you put your phone down for an hour to be present, that's okay too. You have my permission.
I agree.
All right, the next one. Should I focus more on phone cold calls or schedule in-person meetings?
Schedule in-person meetings.
I don't know. It depends what you do. You might be a cold caller, but maybe you're trying to get us to say in-person meetings because you want to tell your boss we said in-person meetings are better. I don't know.
So I'm going to tell your boss in-person meetings are better. Cold calling blows.
Yes, but if your job is to dial for dollars all day long and your job is not to go out there and meet people in person, then you can't go meet people in person.
I'm going to write a book called Cold Calling, The Essence of Rejection. Because you're rejected 98 out of 100 times.
Okay, but I know some people who have built their entire business on cold calling.
Right, but they haven't built it on long-term relationships. Successful.
No, that's not true. You turn the cold call into long-term relationships. You know Robin?
There's like 9 of those people.
You know Robin?
I know Robin.
She built her entire business on cold calling. She's one of the most successful commercial real estate brokers in New York City.
You can cold call in New York City because people are cold. It's an easy way to get, you know, I don't know you, but I got a deal.
You sound like you have a cold.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I just have a voice.
Yeah, you lost your voice. Yeah. I know.
All right, next question. I'm assuming this is for Jeffrey. What is the name of the text message service that you use?
I think it's called AT&T. Not really sure.
I'm assuming they mean your voice to text thing that you do when you write books.
What do you mean?
Oh, it's called Dragon Dictate.
Yeah, Dragon Dictate for Mac.
Nuance. I thought they were talking about that service that will text us our messages. So a live person answers Jeffrey's office line at all times. It is not me. So don't try calling us at 3 o'clock in the morning me to pick up.
Right, call at 3, but someone will pick up.
But someone in America. I think they're in Texas.
In Oregon.
In Oregon, yeah. They'll answer the phone and they will help you. They will not order your pizza, but they will help you. And we will get a text message with your question. Yeah.
And then I have a choice of waking up and calling you.
And so what's the name of that company? I don't know. It comes from like bcanswer.com.
Yeah.
That's where the text messages
We'll put it up.
We'll put it in the show notes. Yeah. I forget the name. Yes, but they're great.
And the last but not the least question of the of this nice little session. What is your differentiator?
Mine has always been me. I've always come out with things that are unlike the other guy. I'm unconventional. I tell people in seminars that I was disruptive before Gary Vee was born. And I think that the challenge that you have is not the fact that I think I'm different, but do others perceive me as different? And I can tell you that based on my following, my YouTube views, my Twitter followers, my LinkedIn connections, they believe it too. And I think that's the real challenge. Do people look at you for things that they can use and turn into money? And if they find them, they'll use them.
You need to be, because it's funny, I was going to answer the same thing. I'm the differentiator. You need to be the differentiator. So people aren't going to go with you necessarily because of the company you work for or the products you sell. They're going to go with you because of you.
Are they going to talk about your business card or throw it away? Are they going to talk about your, are they going to repost or retweet your message?
Mm-hmm. What about your voicemail?
Right. So those are the things, and they're not unbelievably difficult things to do. They just require work. And you have to decide whether you're going to watch television or differentiate. I've chosen differentiation.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So this has been your Saturday special. I hope we were with you somewhere cool, like on a hike or at the gym or somewhere fun.
Or driving your kids to a movie.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Aren't we seeing some movie this weekend?
I apologize for swearing. Yeah, we're going to go see Grinch.
Oh, no. Is that it?
Yeah.
Grinch? Oh, okay. I've never seen it.
Neither have I. It's brand new. It just came out yesterday.
Oh, I didn't know if it was like a remake of some movie. No. It's like a new thing.
This is the Grinch that ate Cleveland.
Got it.
Hey, Dan Gilbert?
Yeah. Dan Gilbert for not giving LeBron a winning team for 7 years. He could have had four more rings at least. But the guy's a cheap bastard and decided not to do it. He owns Cleveland, but wouldn't give LeBron another forward. Anyway, so
we'll be back on Monday.
We will.
We have Motivation Monday.
I agree. And Jenny, it's been a pleasure answering questions with you.
Aww.
You're the cutest question answerer I've ever seen in my life.
Thanks, honey.
And happy birthday.
Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you, get out there, sell something, even if your ass falls off.